From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe back with us. She's here every month, followed by Conversations with Linda. We'll take your calls. Well, first of all, happy birthday to the guy from Pittsburgh, George Senda. What a creative guy he is. Met him at a couple events. He posts a lot of videos on YouTube, and he's very witty. He's got his finger on the pulse of America. He really does. So much so that starting in May, one time a month, he's going to pop on both our website, coasttocoastam.com. You'll see his video, and also on the program where he will give his commentary on events of the day, whether they're paranormal or hard-breaking news stories. But you'll see the guy from Pittsburgh, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But happy birthday, George. Hope you and Kathy have a great one. Here's what's happening. A 25-year-old man who threatened to blow up a Baltimore television station and then was shot and wounded by police did not have a bomb, but a device that was chocolate bars held together by wires. I think he's a little whacked out. The suspect had refused to cooperate with officers, and when he walked out of the building, he was wearing a white panda suit, a surgical mask, and sunglasses before being shot by three officers. They did their job. A bomb robot then scanned the man for nearly an hour before police removed his clothing, picked him up, and carried him into an armed van. Crews transferred him to an ambulance minutes later. He is now in serious but stable condition at a local hospital. The UN says the situation in Syria's city of Aleppo is catastrophic after dozens of people were killed in attacks on targets, including a hospital. Airstrikes on and around the hospital killed at least 27 people, while more than 30 died in other attacks. A UN envoy, Jean England, says the next days could be vital for the humanitarian aid lifeline for much of Syria. It's devastating there. In the past 24 hours, not one, but two North Korean intermediate-range ballistic missiles exploded shortly after launch. It wasn't planned. They failed. But what's that all mean? Jerry Corsi with us, writes for WND.com and noted author. Boy, they're firing off a lot of missiles these days, Jerry.
They are, George, and you know, the fact that they're failing is important, but not nearly as important as the fact that they intend to keep trying. And North Korea has successfully fired shorter-range missiles and missiles from submarines. In fact, they did that also yesterday successfully. So I think it's just a matter of time before North Korea develops a successful long-range missile, and one eventually that will be able to hit the west coast of the United States.
You know, Jerry, you're absolutely right. The submarine launch, which has been our deterrent with Russia for so many years, they've got them, we've got them, and you could hit your continental portion of your country within 5 minutes off the coast. We're concerned about EMPs from North Korea launching a nuke in the atmosphere, detonating it, and shutting down our power grid. If you're doing it from a submarine, if we're not tracking properly, we're going to have no idea where this sub is.
Well, and that's exactly right, George. I mean, you are a Navy veteran. I mean, you understand the power of submarines. And WND was one of the first, with Joseph Farah, I attended years ago, a briefing on EMPs in Washington, a intelligence briefing on them. They're very frightening for their capability to explode a high-altitude nuclear weapon and wipe out the electrical grid, possibly throughout the United States. All computers, all lights going down, all electricity. I mean, it's a nightmare scenario. And one missile fired off of a submarine, just exploded, detonated high altitude, could accomplish that. Something we're really not prepared for. North Korea already has that capability.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Jerry Corsi. Most people count down the days to retirement, but a recent study has now found out that it could actually send you to an early grave. This is something I have known about all my life. New findings suggest that working past the age of 65 could actually add more years onto your life. It was found to lead to an 11% lower risk of death from all causes. A genetic therapy has improved the vision of patients who would otherwise have gone blind. A clinical study has shown that the improvement is long-lasting and the so-called therapy is suitable to be offered as a treatment. It includes, of course, stem cells. Let's check in with the expert, MyHeartBook.com's Christian Wild. Another amazing form of medical technology, Christian.
It's great news. But this discovery will have much broader application and promise for millions of other people who are suffering from additional retinal diseases, like the 15 million with macular degeneration and 1 in 4,000 who have been blinded with no hope for a cure with retinitis pigmentosa. We've talked about, George, how the world waits for generations until some scientist, some researcher, unlocks the mystery that suddenly makes the impossible in medicine possible. This month, we reported on the exciting cancer breakthroughs at Duke University with gene therapy and how they're using a deactivated polio virus to carry the gene to attack the cancer cell. And in today's study, they're following suit. They're also using a virus to replace the inherited dysfunctional gene. So we'll be hearing more and more about gene therapy. In November of last year in the United Kingdom, a one-year-old girl was fighting for her life with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And after receiving one session of gene therapy, she was declared free of her disease. Just an idea of what we might have in the future. You know, you and I could be talking to somebody over lunch, and maybe the subject of heart disease comes up. The person says, in my history, in my family, my grandparents, we have never had a problem with heart disease, but we do have an excessive amount of cancer. Well, that's what gene therapy can do. They can go in, find that dysfunctional cancer gene, and neutralize it.
That's amazing.
So it doesn't get passed on, George, to your children and your grandchildren forever and ever. So the history and the magic of cell therapy, along with stem cell therapy, is upon us, and there's going to be great things coming.
Christian's website, by the way, has great information. It's myheartbook.com, but also if you have trouble getting to it like that, use the three W's, www.myheartbook.com. Christian, thanks, and stay in touch with us. The secret to catching a big fish, as they say, is using your friend's ashes as bait. I kid you not. Two British fishermen honored their late friend by using his remains to reel in a 180-pound Siamese carp while on a trip to Thailand. Ron Harper, 64 years old, from a British city, died of cancer before he could go on the trip with his friends. Before Hopper's death, he agreed to let his 65-year-old friends take the ashes to be used in a special bait mix. Using the special purple Ronnie bait, they battled the massive carp for 3 hours before catching and releasing it. This thing is about 4 feet long. It's huge. And the first commercial U.S. test to diagnose Zika virus has won emergency use authorization from the Food and Drug Administration. It's a rare piece of good news as states and the federal government struggle to get out ahead of the Zika virus epidemic as it makes its way north to the United States. But how fast is it coming here? Now, yes, we've had cases, isolated cases, but can it get worse? Up next, we'll spend the hour with Dr. Gary Ridenour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Gary Ridenour attended Hiram College, then attended medical school in Guadalajara, Mexico, did an internship in Saskatchewan, and then moved to St. Louis for his residency in internal medicine. Gary was one of the main characters in the movie Bad Medicine, also ran his own clinic for the underprivileged, and here he is on Coast to Coast as we talk about so many things, including updating us on the Zika virus. We're going to talk about the situation with the death of Prince. Gary, welcome to the program, first of all, and thanks for making yourself available.
Well, thank you for inviting me again. This is another hot topic that we have to cover.
Oh, sure is. So Zika is making its way north, and our government officials and health officials are concerned, so they've approved a virus test. But how bad is the situation going to get, Gary?
The situation is that there are two mosquitoes in the U.S. related to the Anopheles aegypti, which is down in the tropics, that may be able to carry the virus. And what happens is people will get infected in the subtropical areas, let's say Brazil. They'll fly to the U.S., and for a 10-day period, the virus is in their bloodstream. Mosquito bites them, and then the mosquito picks up the virus.
Okay. Now, we are convinced, I think you and I are convinced, that this Zika mosquito might have been created in a laboratory. Let's elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, it was a number of years ago. They in Brazil, they wanted to get rid of the virus because of dengue fever. And what they did is they mutated the male mosquitoes to be sterile, to release them into the environment so the females would lay dud eggs. And it went for a year or two. It didn't work. They let all the mosquitoes go, and they took off. And there's a possibility that that may have been the starting point.
All right, so let's talk about the virus, especially what it does. A mosquito, how does the mosquito get it to pass it on?
Well, usually the mosquito picks it up from an infected human. However, new news came out a day ago from, I think, New Guinea, stating that they've now found the Zika virus in monkeys, which is a significant finding because genetically monkeys are closer to us and they have viruses closer to us, and the Zika may recombine itself with other viruses to make it, you know, more fatal. It was found in 1947. It was misdiagnosed and put in the wrong group of a virus family and sat on a shelf there. And it was popping along for a while, but in the last 2 years, it appears that it's mutated, and now the subtropical zones in the world are going to be saturated with this virus.
Jeez, it's kind of scary because we've seen pictures of little babies, and it's not very comforting.
No, the virus gets in, and see, if you're pregnant the first 3 months or so, the virus will go through the placenta, and it goes down into the pre-cells that are going to later develop to be neural cells and bone cells and mutates them. So you end up with a baby with a small deformed skull and a very small brain, and a lot of them are stillborn.
Okay, so is there anything that we can do to avoid this? I mean, you get bitten by a mosquito. That happens. I mean, we all have been bitten by mosquitoes. What are the odds? If you get bit by one mosquito, what are the odds that it's going to give you Zika?
Well, the odds are most people that get the Zika virus have little viral symptoms and don't feel too well, and it passes. And then in a small percentage of the people, the pregnant females may develop a deformed child. Adults may develop encephalitis or meningitis. Over the age of 55, you may develop something called Guillain-Barré syndrome, in which your arms and legs become totally paralyzed. You're in the hospital for 30 to 45 days to try to get you to walk again, and that, and out of that group, 20% of those people will be in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives.
And there's nothing, no cure, nothing?
No, there's nothing right now. The one thing is that the mosquito in Brazil is a daytime mosquito. It's early morning and early evening, and this mosquito has adapted itself to live in urban areas. So if it finds a plastic water bottle that somebody just threw away and it's got a little bit of water in it, it'll go down there and lay its eggs in it.
Oh,
you don't have to go and try to get the ponds and the rivers and stuff. They'll do it in a car tire or anywhere. And that's the big problem, because we've got so much junk all over the planet.
Would you be a little skittish if a vaccine comes out for Zika and you're supposed to give it to your child, the vaccine?
My experience with the last time we had a really good vaccine that came out was in 1982, which was a hepatitis B vaccine. We've been waiting for a vaccine for AIDS for 30 years. The vaccine for Ebola? No. The vaccine for the common flu? 2 years ago, they picked the wrong virus, and so our flu vaccine was only 30% effective.
Jeez.
A lot of companies have been shut down because of poor hygiene and not actually making anything. The problem in the vaccine industry is greed. They want to get money to do their research, and then they make an announcement, their stock goes up, and a few days later, they come back and go, this is not going to work.
Yeah, not at all. Okay, last week we lost Prince, 57 years old.
Yep.
The National Enquirer now reporting that he had full-blown AIDS. He took pain pills, and I think those pain pills are what contributed to him dying, of course. But what do we know about this, Gary?
Well, as we know, my God, you look back at the history and see that Rock Hudson died from it.
Yes.
And then on the other end of the spectrum was Liberace. And
then you have someone like Magic Johnson, who has been able to fight it.
Yes, he has, and he's spent tons of money for the medications, which is they're very, very expensive. And when you get the AIDS, become HIV positive. Coincidentally, I have the longest surviving HIV positive patient in Nevada right now, 14 years. But it is severely depressing, and you can start getting addicted to drugs, and he might have possibly overdosed and committed suicide.
Well, they're not sure he committed suicide, but I guess there are ways that when you give up, you might consider it that.
Well, when you give up and get depressed, your immune system goes down also. And I've seen no pictures of him recently because when...
They said he lost 80 pounds.
All right, well then, bingo, because when you get to the later stages, the weight loss is unbelievable. My patient is doing well because I started this patient on testosterone shots. And that bulked the patient up and kept his weight up, and he's doing fine because of the testosterone.
In addition to other things they're doing?
Yeah, in addition to the other medications. But he went to the HIV clinic, and they went, holy cow, you're looking great. What are you doing? And they said, Dr. Ridner has given me testosterone, and I'm keeping my muscle mass and my hunger, and I'm feeling good.
We're not hearing a lot about HIV like we did 10 years ago. Why not?
It's 30 years old, so, it's kind of dropped into the background. It's old news now, and, we still got about 43,000 people on the planet that have AIDS right now or are HIV positive, and probably about 23,000 people that have full-blown AIDS, so it's still out there. And as far as getting a vaccine, 30 years of work and no vaccine.
No, nothing at all. And they've spent how much? Billions?
Billions of dollars on this. And it's a tricky virus, too, because there's certain antibodies in your system that the AIDS virus will hit. Well, when you give a vaccine, you try to turn on one antibody to kill the virus when it comes in. The problem is the AIDS vaccine may hit a different virus than that, so it's you can't get to it. And so it's kind of fallen into the background, which is just not acceptable.
All right, Gary, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment with the time we have left with you. We will take phone calls as we want to talk about the Zika virus and other issues that you have been so, just so important to us. Gary Ridenour with us. We'll take your calls next. Okay, welcome back. We're taking your phone calls for the rest of this half hour with our special guest, Gary Ridenour, the good doctor who's talking with us about Zika, vaccines, other viruses as well. What do you see, Gary, as the biggest health issue facing all of us?
Well, one of the biggest health issues is the Center for Disease Control is in Congress holding their hat out wanting $2 billion to study the Zika virus. Personally, I think one guy could fly down to Brazil with two Ziploc bags, get a bunch of mosquitoes in them, and fly home. They'd have the virus in the mosquitoes, and they could be studied at the CDC. But $2 billion is crazy. It's an election year, and they want to hand this money out to their buddies in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, oh, geez. Now, what are how is Zika getting in? Are the mosquitoes coming into our country? Are they, you know, as they say, going north? Or did this get created here because of passengers from planes?
Exactly. They're flying in. We've had three in Reno, Nevada, and they have flown in from contaminated areas, which is only about 40 countries, and have brought the Zika virus in. And new reports are saying that the southeast of the United States is going to be prime territory because of the type of mosquito they got down there. But we still don't know if mosquitoes up north here will be able to carry it or not.
Well, let us hope not. They carry enough, though. What is a mosquito's purpose in life other than for birds to eat them?
Replicate. The female mosquito only bites and gets a blood meal, so she has enough energy and to be able to go and lay her eggs.
The male mosquito does not bite?
To the best of my knowledge, no, he does not. It's the female, and because she needs the blood to lay the eggs.
So what are your recommendations in the summer? You're sitting outside on your patio. What do you do?
Well, the nice thing is down south, the mosquito is a daytime mosquito. He's early morning, early evening. And the good old mosquito bug light is going to be good. And for God's sakes, don't hang it on your porch to attract the mosquitoes to your house. Put it 50 or 60 feet away from your house. Mosquito repellent is good. And long sleeve shirts. And the mosquito range is only 400 yards. So go around 400 yards around your neighborhood and look around and see if there's standing water or other things. And also, the mosquito abatement people have got to get on the wagon real quick and start spraying.
Do those citronella candles work?
Yeah, they do. They'll work. Anything that's smoky will work. As far as putting stuff on your skin, motor oil, mineral oil, any kind of noxious oil-type material on your skin will repel a mosquito.
They love water, too, don't they?
Yes, they do, and they will, you know, it's basically to lay the eggs and move on. So, but like I said, the ones down in the subtropics have adjusted themselves to laying eggs in anything that they can find water in.
Does chlorine kill the eggs?
Chlorine will kill the eggs. Back in the old days, you poured motor oil on top of the water, and that was the end of the mosquito's larva. When they hatched, they got into the motor oil and it killed them. Of course, environmentally, we don't do that anymore.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Philip in North Carolina, east of the Rockies, to get things started here. Hi, Philip. Go ahead.
Yes, Doctor. I had a question for you about rheumatoid arthritis. My wife was diagnosed with it a few years ago, and we have probably five other friends that we know have it, and every one of them were diagnosed after having strep. And I was wondering if you had anything to say about that.
Yeah, the strep theory has been out for 10 to 15 years. And the first thing is that most people that get a cold or a sore throat, it's possibly a strep infection. And the bacteria just isn't able to activate your immune system, because what rheumatoid arthritis does is that your immune system looks at your joints and sees them as foreign material and attacks them and causes inflammation. And so the jury's still out on the strep one, but it's a good question.
Lodi, California caller. Hello, Susie. It's your turn.
Hi.
Hello there.
How are y'all?
Good.
I wanted to ask the doctor's opinion. I have psoriatic arthritis and a few other immune issues, symptoms, and my doctor would like to do the mesenchymal stem cell treatment for the psoriatic arthritis, and I'd like his opinion on that, and if you think it will help the plaque and the tendon issues that come with the psoriatic arthritis, and also with the, I have AS, so ankylosing spondylitis, so my spine is really painful,
and I'd like his opinion on that. Okay,
and
you know what, if you have a doctor who's prepared to do stem cells, that's pretty good, Gary, I think.
It is, and it's really tough with rheumatoid arthritis. There's a lot of good, very, very expensive drugs out there. I see about two out of three of my rheumatoid arthritis patients that the drugs tend to fail. But for the psoriatic arthritis on your skin, there are a lot of different new creams and things to put on them. Sunlight is good for psoriasis also. But the current new medication seems to be putting a good dent into this disease. The other thing is with rheumatoid arthritis is keep moving. Don't sit. I mean, if you're watching TV, get a can of beans and start moving your arms around with that can of bean and keep those joints moving, because the last thing you want to do is get those joints locked up.
Hey, once you do, then what?
Then you can actually get calcium deposits into the joint, and the joint will actually freeze itself. So you got to keep moving.
All right, we have Kevin now in Norwich, Connecticut. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Oh, thank you, George. Pardon me for sounding out of breath. I was just slathering some motor oil all over here. Supposed to have sunshine tomorrow. End up
your 30s. Good.
I eat a lot of garlic. I keep hoping that's going to keep the mosquitoes.
Okay, there you go. I've been thinking about that, too. hasn't been tested yet, but, you know, the garlic smell may repel mosquitoes. I'm going to start investigating that, because that may be an easy possibility for a lot of people. One of the problems in South America is that people can't afford mosquito repellents. So, you know, I've been talking all the time about, you know, using different oils to put on yourself and staying indoors during the time when the mosquitoes are active.
Well, put me on your test list, because I love garlic. I'll eat as much of it as you want me to.
Oh, that's great. If I walk by garlic, I have to eat two Tums.
But it's so good.
I can't do it.
It kills vampires.
It does, and it kills my stomach, too.
Gary, you've been into this. You know, you've written a book on pandemics. You're an expert on this. Are you seeing things change over the last few years?
Yes. The change is downhill because of the fact that the world economy is going down. They're removing healthcare workers from the fields. From the field going out and doing things. Living conditions, like you look in Brazil, people are living in these shacks, and there's mud and water in the shacks, and these countries do not have money to aim at improving health care.
No, they don't. They don't. Now, there's some concern about going to Brazil for the Olympics, right?
There is, because of the fact that the Zika virus is very, very heavy in Brazil, and the Brazil government has now started to release the genetically modified mosquito. And the problem is that studies have shown that when you release those males, only about 15% of them survive. So you've got to let a heck of a lot of mosquitoes loose if you're going to keep the females from laying eggs.
Chicago, Illinois caller Sue's with us. Hi, Sue, on our wild card line.
Thank you very much, and God bless you, doctor. I worked at Loyola University when they first had the outbreak of the West Nile virus here. And one of the things that I've noticed is that they don't alert people either. You know, like getting, because people forget. And they become very ambivalent. And a lot of little children are roaming around with shorts on and short tops and everything. And people just don't keep up with what's going on.
You know, exactly. I was going to mention this, that in the last 3 days, I've talked to my patients, and 7 out of 10 of my patients did not know what the Zika virus was. I mean, it's, you know, you pick up the paper and all you see is Trump and Clinton. I suggest the best place to keep up on things is go to CIDRAP, C-I-D-R-A-P, the University of Minnesota. They are not politically connected, and they've got the straight poop on everything that's going on.
Truly amazing what's going on this entire planet.
Oh.
Now we're not hearing too much about Ebola anymore. Now what happens?
Well, Ebola's coming back again. And, you know, we kind of didn't do anything, and 15,000 people died. And then there was, quote, an Ebola vaccine, and that ended up being a farce. And there are reports that the Ebola is starting to come back again.
Jeez.
And we're not doing anything.
We have Ted in Olympia, Washington, now west of the Rockies. Ted, go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Doctor.
Hey,
great
Ted.
Show tonight.
Thank you, sir,
for having this on. Just a real quick question. I have my own radio show in Seattle called Out of This World Radio, and I had a program on Zika virus about a month ago. And in that program, the guest that I had was a guy named Francis Boyle from the University of Illinois Law School. He said that the Zika virus was patented by the Rockefeller Foundation in 1947, and this current outbreak of Zika virus was actually funded and propagated by Bill Gates as a way of population control.
Yeah, well, that's a great conspiracy theory. And it's going to have to stand for a while because, quite frankly, they haven't really even gotten into looking at the genetic makeup of the virus to see whether or not it may have been manipulated or not. So it's going to take a while. Bill Gates ran a big program for polio, from what I understand, in India. And he got the wrong vaccine from the wrong company. And according to the stories, he gave 43,000 people polio.
Jeez. You know, I he's pro-vaccine. I don't think he is out to kill people by any means.
No. Well, in the original vaccine, the Salk vaccine, was fantastic. And then we went to the Sabin. And then years later, they went back and found out that the Salk vaccine was contaminated with a monkey virus that if we continued to use it, by the time you got to 50, you would develop neurological problems.
We've got Joseph in New Orleans. It's your turn, Joseph, first-time caller. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Noy.
Hi, Joseph.
How are you doing? I'm just calling to you. You discussed something about the HIV virus.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to get discouraged because I've been HIV positive for 32 years.
32 years?
Yeah. And I haven't had a single medical issue except getting old.
Joseph, what are you doing to control it or to keep it in check?
I take medication.
What kind? Can you tell us the kind?
Yeah, I take 3 different kinds. I take Reataz, Zeret, and Epivir.
Is it like a cocktail?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, and that's one, and God bless you for making it this long, man. The idea of our medication right now is to prevent the replication of the virus so you won't go in and have AIDS. The other thing, too, is that there's multiple forms of the AIDS virus. So just like hepatitis B, there's five kinds of hepatitis C. So you may have been lucky enough to have gotten a non-virulent form of the virus.
Now, is this something that could be eradicated, or is it going to be with us until the end of time, Gary?
The way it looks like, it's going to be around for a long time because it's just a virus that you just can't get an angle on. So, we just have to go with safe sex and more education, which, by the way, has just practically dropped out of the school systems in the United States. They don't even know about AIDS and HIV anymore.
Let's go to Pete in New York City. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say about the mosquitoes, two things, actually.
Sure.
I used to have a couple of girlfriends many years ago, and we'd hang out outside during sunsets and such and camping, and they were never touched by mosquitoes. Everybody else was being eaten alive. And what their secret was eat a lot of fruit and the B vitamins, and they were never touched.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, B6 vitamin has been a favorite for repelling mosquitoes, and I haven't caught up on it lately, but I'm going to do that. The other thing is that mosquitoes are attracted by carbon dioxide coming out of you. And they smell the carbon dioxide and head towards you because they realize that there's something living there. And some people don't put up enough carbon dioxide. Sometimes the smells off their skin won't attract the mosquito. I'm one of the guys, like you, that I can sit outside and everybody's eating alive and they're not touching.
They don't touch you at all.
And I have no idea why.
Huh. Okay, Pete, you had another question?
Well, yeah, I was wondering about you, George. I've been on, you keep saying about pain meds, and I've been on it for 20 years, and this is getting to be a joke and ridiculous. People are dying because they can't get their pain meds, you know. And, you know, these alternative things, they don't work. For 20 years, I've bought everything, tried everything. It doesn't work.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm one of four or five doctors in this state that signs the paperwork for medical marijuana cards. And there are various concoctions of medical marijuana that are good for pain control. And our state, it looks like, is going to go and make it completely legal in November. But I would look into that because they're starting to break down the chemicals, all the chemicals in the marijuana, and they've made salves out of it and other things. And there's one recipe I give my patients, and half a cc on their tongue, and about 45 minutes later, they're not really loaded from the marijuana, but their pain level has dropped down.
And that's the important thing. Gary, thanks for being on the program.
You're
Let's
welcome,
keep
sir.
In touch, my friend. Dr. Gary Ridenour. Up next, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us. She's got a series of incredible stories that she'll talk with us about. Then in our last hour, it's always called Conversations with Linda, where we take your calls.